Well, Happy New Year. January 5th is kind of the New Year is already off and running. 2019 is a memory now. It's in the past. But what a great 2019. I know many successes and many challenges we faced throughout 2019 that we got through, and God is good and God is glorified in those things. We're excited about a few of the things that are happening around us, the work that's being done in this room. Also, Agape is getting started back this week. And then there's a men's day over in Eugene. The Eugene Church of Christ is putting on a men's day. I'd love to have all men go. The van ride over there or the carpool ride over there. Leave here at 9 a.m. and we'll get back about 8 p.m. The program there goes from noon to about 5. And then we'll have dinner and start coming back. So hopefully any men that want to go to that men's day, please come for that. And also, and as in the bulletin, our Relationship Matters conference is coming up. We have some flyers that are been printed and are being mailed to us, and there'll be more information about spreading the word in our community to our friends and neighbors about that great opportunity to have Jerry and Lynn Jones back here with us. But into our 2019, looking back, I listened to a podcast about it's good to kind of look back and see where we've been, and then also start looking forward to where we might be going. Well, I thought, well, that really hasn't been very much. I mean, you might think about that. Well, I don't know what to look back on. And as I started looking back and thinking about the church year and the things that God has done through us, there's quite a list of things that God has done in and through us and in a year here in this body. And I just want to reflect on some of those. We had 5 baptisms this past year. We have a goal that we wanted to grow in our life groups, and we have 5 active life groups with about 72 people assigned to those groups. We served over 3,000 meals on Agape. Over 300 people came to the annual clothing giveaway. Our average attendance has been over 100 this year. 45-plus come to Sunday morning Bible class, and great to have everyone come to class, and love to have. We're having a prayer focus of class this year. Those that went were encouraged others to come to be a part of that class. We had on Easter Sunday, our highest Sunday was Easter Sunday, 180 people. You guys helped raise $3,200 to send 13 kids to Camp Yamhill again this year. We started full-time, more monthly support of 2 new missions, the Mountain States Children Home, and we were blessed to have had Randy Scow from that ministry come and speak with us and give us a report, also picking up Eastern European missions along with the other missions we continue to support. The building remodel, we see with the foyer and the fellowship hall and the bathrooms and the hallways and the kitchen area back there and the lighting. That happened all last year. Operation Christmas Child, 63 boxes that went out. Jared and I attended a song leaders workshop that was in Kaiser this past year. Bill and I attended a security workshop that was held at the Nazarene Church here down the street. Men went on the men's retreat. Women went on the women's retreat to Camp Yamhill. There was a ladies' day. There were several ladies' breakfasts that were held throughout this year. We had our annual church picnic and end-of-life group picnic. The church has been sponsoring me to do a middle school Bible club, go twice a week to the North Bend Middle School and on a Fridays and give pizza and Bible, and also picked up another person to go along with me so that we're sharing that. And so middle school 6th graders have, actually 6th through 8th graders have a Bible club at the middle school every week that they are in school on Friday. I was getting ready to start back this week, but they have Friday off already. They just had a break. I mean, come on. But excited that the church is sponsoring that ministry. Also, we've been wanting to use our van more. We've been taking kids to camp, but Dale Brownson is, I don't know if I should get this word out, but he's been helping to give transportation to folks on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights, and glad to have that. Tracy was telling me that Mark was seeing over 4 million hits on our church website through our lessons and materials that are there. Trunk or Treat, I mean, hundreds of people that came to have a safe spot and to get the love of our body and get their treats and have a good time. And then many other pastoring moments that each one has experienced, benevolent experiences, taking care of our members. And I know I would love to hear you reflect and think about back on the year, and let's continue to share those things to see where the Lord has done. Can we say amen? Can we say praise the Lord for the year? Praise the Lord for what he's done and what he's continuing to do through us and in his church and in this community and in our families. And I almost didn't want to get up here this morning because I was holding a beautiful baby back here, a little Alice, and then I didn't see a baby back there on the Mueller roll. He's not a baby, and he's getting big. These kids are growing up, and good to have these babies growing up in church. And you know what? I don't want ever anyone to complain about crying babies or people making noise. Now, Alice was sweet. She didn't make. I was trying. I was pinching her and poke. I didn't pinch her. I was trying to poke, get her to squeal. But and Mueller's over there said he's starting to talk. I said, you let him talk. If you have a problem with babies talking, you can take a lap. Okay? Are we good on that? Take a lap. When we have a lap back there, it's a beautiful lap. So, glad to have that going on in our body. And so we just praise God for what he's done. And help us now look ahead. 2020. Wow. That sounds good, doesn't it? 2020. It's going to be a good year. It's going to be a good year. And I want to encourage us as we've encouraged our Sunday morning class, but encourage us all with the song that was read, the scripture that was read. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek God, and sometimes we seek and we listen and we wait. And when we hear, and when we see, have the courage to respond. And so God is good. Well, we're into the new year of new beginnings, New Year's resolutions, and change. Can anyone say change and smile about it? That's what life is. Life is about change. It's changing all the time. And sometimes we don't like it because it requires something of us. It causes us to reflect and think and do. When we have our comforts and the way we've been managing has been getting us here so far, even if it's a little rough sometimes. But it's a new year, a new beginnings, but every day is a new day. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God is a God of new days and new sunrises and new beginnings all the time. So why not lean into that? And why don't we lean in that together this year? Lean into him, seeking him together. Well, we're picking back up on a series that was started before the Advent Christmas season that we just got through, and what a wonderful season that was. Can we all say, we made it. We made it from Thanksgiving to New Year's. Now we have this time, this season in the calendar of the year and in the church calendar. We're in the season now looking forward to resurrection in months to come. But we're picking back up in the series that was started on this living in recovery. And this life's healing choices, living a life of freedom and recovery. And I love how this time of year for this choice and this part of the series that's coming up at the beginning of this year about this really making a resolute decision to make the changes, to allow God to do what he needs and what we know if we've gone through these steps, and we're going to review a little bit. If we're at that place where we're saying, I've identified my life, I've surveyed my life, you know, as we talk about surveying our year, part of the fourth step, as we'll get to, is this reviewing our lives, doing an inventory of where we are. And once we're there to say, I want to do something, things need to change. And how is it going to change? Is it going to be by my power? No. The very first choice is, and this is, comes from a book and a program by John Baker and Rick Warren about celebrate recovery, how we should be people in recovery and celebrating God's transformation and changing in our lives and to his glory and being people that are vulnerable and that aren't ashamed and are willing to say, yes, it's not about me, it's about you, God, and I will proclaim that message all day long, that I am a sinner saved by grace. I am not identified by anything else but you, and I will continue to walk in that way. Well, the first choice is realizing I am not God, and I admit that I am powerless to control my tendency to do the wrong thing, that my life is unmanageable. And these teachings come from the Beatitudes. I mean, as you look at the teachings of Christ in the Sermon on the Mount, that he says, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who realize I don't have what it takes. I'm not God. I'm powerless. And usually what happens is we get outgoing on our own strength and our own ability, our own accord, and then we fall. And then we come up short or we fail. And that's a moment to realize I am poor in spirit, but sometimes we don't learn from those falls. We try to wrestle and fight, or we just kind of stay there. Okay, well, this is my new normal. I'm just down here or stuck here. This is where I am. And in the Lord, we need to realize I'm not God, and I admit that I'm powerless, and that my life's unmanageable. That's that blesses the poor in spirit. The second choice is earnestly believing that God exists, that I matter to Him, and that He has the power to help me. This comes from Jesus' teaching of blessed are those who mourn. That once you realize I'm powerless and I'm weak and I'm here, okay, now what? Who can help me? And it's crying out to the one that I know who can help. I mean, you don't cry to someone who's not going to listen. I mean, you don't cry to someone who's not going to help you. I mean, if a baby falls over in a store or a child and they start throwing a tantrum on the floor, right? If no one responds, they stop. Unless they're hurt. But if they're just wanting the attention and they're crying, you walk past them. I mean, how many of you have walked past a crying baby because it wasn't yours to take care of? Right? Or, you see the parents, they start crying, well, I'll just turn this way. And the baby starts kind of, and they walk over there, then they fall over there and cry there until someone listens. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Earnestly believing that God exists. I bow to Him, and so I'm going to turn towards Him. The third choice is consciously choose to commit all my life and will to Christ's control. This is the response to blessed are the meek, not the weak. The weak are the ones who don't know where the strength is, that you have the strength to choose, to change, to do something different. The blessed of the meek is taking my will and my power and my strength and my ability and turning it and committing to the one who can help me out of the situation I can't get out of. That has something better for me. I am weak, but He is strong. It's that conscious choice. You see, it kind of slows down this process to kind of get us to think, what do I do from here to the life God wants me to have? It's realizing I'm powerless. It's realizing I seek Him. He's one that can help me. And then making the choice, I'll give Him my life. From that moment, saying, I'm yours, Lord. I've seen what you've done on the cross. I've seen what's available to me through the death, burial, and resurrection. I will enter into the waters of baptism. I will die to myself and live for you. I will commit my life to you. I will die to you and live for you. I will deny myself. And I will choose that. Blessed are the meek. The fourth is then after you've chosen that, you still had your life that He pulled you out of. And it's to openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone else. And this is where we left at the end of November on this fourth choice. Blessed are the pure in heart. Because when we commit our lives to Christ and we give ourselves and our sins are forgiven and now we're walking with Him, we still have this damaged, hurt heart. We still have this baggage. We still have this mess. And so, yes, He's removed them, but yet we're still on this journey of coming out of that into life He's has in store for us. And this is that hard part, that looking back, that maybe this time of year you look back, and I encourage you to look back in the life of the church, but then also look back in your own life. Examine and be honest. If you've gotten here, and many of you have, realizing, yeah, I need God, and that's why you're here. I earnestly seek Him. I know He can do that. I've given my life. I've crossed that line, and I continue to cross that line and confess my sins, but yet I don't feel like I'm living that good life. Is to openly confess and examine, and then, it's one thing to see something there, another one to say, yeah, that's me. Yeah. And then to tell that to God, and I believe that many of us do that. We tell God, God, forgive me, God, forgive me, God, forgive me. But what about telling someone else? Confess your sins one to another so that you may be healed. The power in that, how God ties Him and others together, love God, love others, confess to Him, confess to others. which leads us to today's choice, to voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask Him to remove my character defects. Because once we've examined them, identifying, yeah, this is what's wrong, this is what I need to change, this is where I need to get out of, or these are the areas in my life that are weak or that are affecting my life with you, God, that are affecting my life with others, these are the areas. Now am I going to go to work on them? Am I going to do the things, do the work? Am I going to allow you into my life and allow you to do that transforming work, that remodeling work of working with me in these areas, in these rooms of my life, in my family, in my relationships, in my finances, in my service, in my personal life, in my desires, in my am I going to allow you there? And then am I going to do the hard things of the change and then ask you to remove those parts of me that are defective? This comes from Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, "Blessed are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires." Another translation of the verse that says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness." The things you hunger and thirst for are your greatest desire. When you're empty, what do you go to? When you're dry, what do? What do you desire? And the things that keep us away from God are the things that aren't of God, the things that we're thirsting after. See, he says, "Blessed are those whose greatest desire is to do what God requires." Well, we may say that's where we bounce. That's where we rub, because it's like, that's not what I've been used to. That's what's not easy for me or comfortably. And to voluntarily submit to those changes. And I don't know about you this time of year. You maybe have done this. You maybe be resistant to it. "I don't make resolutions. Those are ball humbug. They don't work." And they probably don't. You know, and if we, Al, how long have you kept a resolution? Some of you are really good. You know, you're fit, you're healthy, you got a good prayer life, good Bible reading life, family's going well, you're generous with your money, you're good givers, and you're working on those areas, your relationships seem to be working out. You know, but most of us, we know, because we know our tendencies, we know our defects, we know our weaknesses, and some go, "I'm not making those." Well, that's not stepping into this choice. I'm voluntarily submit every change to God. Yeah, there's things. It's not just the way I am. That might be. You might say, "Well, this is who I am." And God says, "But that's not who you are. That's not the life I want you to live. There's so much more. So much better." You know, maybe there's some physical things you want to. You're challenged with diet or exercise or addictions or other health things that you want to change this year. You know, to look back and to examine those things, but then to seek the Lord to confess those to God and confess those to others. What about some family changes? What about the attention you give your family, the time you spend? What about the attitudes in the home, the love, the care, the time spent together? What about your screen time versus FaceTime? I'm not talking about the FaceTime app on Messenger. I'm talking about what we're looking at right now. Stop looking at the screen. Stop looking at the screen. Look face to face. Time. Have you to confess those to God and to share those with others? And what about financial? What about spending and saving and getting out of debt, or the amount of giving and generosity? What about your attitude? What about your walk with God, your spirituality? And really, everything is spiritual. Every part of our life, heart, soul, mind, body, strength. So, we have character defects. And there's three sources of our character. Character is our chromosomes. Mom, 23,000. Dad, 23,000 chromosomes come together. That's who we are. There are strengths and weaknesses that we get from our parents. There are physical and emotional strengths and defects. But we are still responsible, even if we have a tendency to be angry. Even if we have a tendency to be addicted, a tendency to act one way or respond another way. But one of our character is formed by out of our control by our chromosomes. Our character, second, is formed by our circumstances. You know, where we were raised, who we were raised by, the lifestyle of the people that are around us. We experience from our parents and our siblings or those who raised us, from our friends, from our teachers, those people that we were put in their lives or they were put in our lives and we didn't have control of it because we were children or we were dependent on these others. And in those circumstances, we developed certain patterns and habits. Many of them were attempts to protect ourselves, to handle the hurts, to handle the rejections, how to cope with those circumstances that we were put in. See, we all have legitimate needs for respect. We have a legitimate need to be respected, and so we will do things to get attention. And we may do positive things, this is how you get attention, get respect, or we get that by acting out. You know, we have a legitimate need for love. And we learn by those around, how do we get that love? How are we going to act in those relationships? We have a need for security. And we build up security if it's not provided for us in the things that make us comfortable. And sometimes the things that make us comfortable are our possessions. Well, if you buy these things, you do these things, then your life will be secure. See, our character defects will direct us towards self-defeating attempts to satisfy our unmet needs. Our third source of our character is our choices. Our choices. This is the most significant source of character defect because they are the one thing we can do something about. Well, why does it take so long to get rid of our character defects? One, because we've had them so long. You know, it's been a part of how we've been managing and getting through life. That we have a hard time because we confuse our defects with our identity. Like I mentioned earlier, we say, well, that's just the way I am. Deal with it. You know, that's just how I cope. I'm just this way. Versus saying, no, I am a believer who struggles with this. I am identified by how God sees me, how who I am in Christ, not by these things. And so I'm not just going to deal with it. And we struggle with these because every defect has a payoff. You know, maybe you struggle with being angry. Well, being angry will get you a payoff. I mean, if I raise my voice loud enough, if I stomp around enough, everyone else is going to feel defeated and I'm going to get my way. And so we keep those things because they have a payoff. They bring us comfort. They bring us some kind of coping. They bring us some type of response. And we have a hard time because, oh yeah, everything's spiritual. Satan discourages our efforts to change. He whispers, you can't do that. You won't do it. You're just that. That's just how you are. You don't have the strength. No one cares. Well, this fifth choice, voluntarily submit to every change God wants to make in my life and humbly ask Him to remove my character defects. If you're at this point, examined your life, realizing, again, this is what I have wrong. Some may be thinking, I'm pretty good. Well, examine and see where the changes are. We all have something. We all have some place that we need to change or can do, that we can improve on. And we can't do it on our own. We need God. It starts with God. Just like that first step, blessed are the poor in spirit. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It's got to start with God. Yeah, I've seen these things. Well, you say, well, this is step five. I've already stepped, but keep going back to God. Now we've gone through this stage. Now what do? I present it to God. I seek Him first. Second is surrender to God. This is that second and third step. Mourn, realizing He has the power, and I'll let Him. Being meek, committing my life to Him, surrendering my life to Him. In Romans 1 and 2, it says, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing and perfect will. To surrender to God, saying, you know, I can't, but He can, so I'll let Him. This is that letting go of ourselves, to offering ourselves as living sacrifices. And that's the third thing, to sacrifice for God. Because the change can require a sacrifice. To change from an impurity to a purity is going to require a sacrifice. Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. To sacrifice, and it's going to hurt. It's going to challenge us. We're not going to want to do it. We're not going to like to do it. This is that hard work of that examining and then that confessing and then to actually do it. You ever had a good intention to do something? You got up to that point where I'm going to do this. I'm going to give to this place. I'm going to help this place out. I'm going to get up. I'm going to start early. I'm going to do this. You got it all figured out, but then you never do it. Yeah, that's where the sacrifice is. That's how you know it's a sacrifice, because it hurts. It's uncomfortable. You get that pressure. Satan doesn't want you to do it. It's that sacrifice. And then submit to God. Submit to God. And this is where that message today, that blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, whose greatest desire is to do what God desires. For our desire to begin to submit to Him, to do the work, to do the change, to renew our minds. You see, our thoughts determine our feelings, and our feelings determine our actions. Once you confess and sacrifice, willingly allow God to remove the defects and change you. Where you say, well, there's so many things. There's so many things. And yet, if you do this inventory, you know, there's going to be a lot of things. Maybe the different areas of your life, there's one or two things there, or maybe one area, there's quite a bit of things. And sometimes that can be overwhelming. You never start a lot of things at once. You never run after everything all at once. You know, you want to start with one thing. And so, what do I do? Focus on one defect and one day at a time. Focus on one defect and one day at a time. Proverbs 27:14 says, an intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions. When Jesus says this is how you should pray, part of that prayer it says, give us this day our daily bread. What about tomorrow? Well, tomorrow's got, what if, give us this day. Focus on today. You know, the scripture that was read is, don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of tomorrow. Live one day at a time. And say, well, maybe that first one thing is a very big thing. Well, how do I go after that? It's like someone says, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. One day at a time. What if I have lots of elephants? Then eat one elephant at a time. So focus on one defect and one day at a time. Focus on God's power, not your power. Because if your power would work, it would work. But it doesn't. We go through that. We've experienced that. Focus on God, God's power. Jeremiah 13:23 says, can a leopard change its spots? Neither can you do good who are accustomed to doing evil. But Paul says in Philippians, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Focus on the good things, not the bad things. Focus on the good things. Fix your eyes on what is true and good and right. Think about what is pure. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about. Because what you focus on and what is what you will move toward and will dominate your life. Even if it's negative. You think about negative things, all the things you don't want to do, what do you end up doing? Doing those things. Don't eat the cookies. Don't eat the cookies. I'm eating a cookie. You know, don't cuss, don't cuss. Don't get upset. Don't watch this show. Don't go to that place. Don't drink that. Don't act that way. That if we're focused there, that's what we will do. If you mentally know what is right, do it. Your feelings will catch up with you. It's easier to act your way into a feeling than to feel your way into action. You know, we're not going to want to do it. We're not going to want to do it. But if we know what's right, you do it. You know, I want to love my spouse even. Well, maybe I don't like it. I didn't feel good. Well, do it anyway. Act your way into that feeling. You know, in counseling, husband and wife comes, I don't love her anymore. I don't love him anymore. Well, just start loving her. What they're saying is I don't feel in love. Love is an action. How about make it the goal, husbands and wife, who can outserve your spouse this year? Who can be the greatest servant this year? Oh, that's not cool. I didn't even like it saying it coming out of my own mouth. You know, oh, that stinks. See what I just did to myself. What about spending more time at home? You know, I'm going to be home at 5, and I'm going to leave my work at work and not bring it home. It's not going to feel good because it's going to feel like, oh, there's still so much more. I could just squeeze in a couple more things, here. What about trying to relax more? Oh, you're talking about being lazy, Brian. No, to relax, to slow down enough. You know, there was a missionary that went to a place in Africa, and he went there, and he got with this group that was going to lead them into this wilderness area where these tribes were, and it was going to take a several-day journey by car to get to this place where they were going. And he was all excited, and he got himself to the home spot, and then they got loaded up. They got to their first destination. They had to camp out. They got all camped out. They got all set up, and then they slept. The next morning, he's just pacing around, and everyone's still sleeping. He's just pacing. We got places to go. And about 10 o'clock, these other guys woke up. I mean, come on, we lost some daylight hours. It's 10 o'clock, and he asked these guys who were helping him. He says, why aren't we going? He says, we're waiting for our souls to catch up with us. So focus on doing good, not feeling good. Focus on people who will help you, not hinder you. Don't be fooled. Bad friends will ruin good habits. If you have a drinking problem, don't go to the bars. If there are certain people that make you angry, don't go by them. Ecclesiastes says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity the one who falls and has no one to help him up. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Focus on people who will help, not hinder you. That's why it's so important when that part of confessing to God, telling yourself, getting yourself amped up, but sharing it with others, whether it's a change, whether it's a New Year's resolution, whether it's something you want to tell someone else who will help you, not someone who you'll tell them and go, oh, you'll never do that. And then when you have one day you mess up, they go, see, I told you. No, someone said, well, get back up. Let's get going. You miss one day of Bible reading. Let's just read today. You miss one day of eating the right stuff. Eat the right stuff today. You miss one day of this. Then let's do it today. Someone who will help you, not hinder you. And then focus on progress, not perfection. We know the scriptures that say, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. But that's an impossibility. And sometimes, oh, I'm not perfect, so I'm out. I'm not 100%, I'm only 99%, or I'm only 70%, so I'm out. No, it's not about just perfection, it's about progress. See, God loves you at every stage of recovery and growth. And finally, where we started, speak to God. Talk to God. Go to God. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Jesus says, ask and it will be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone who asks receives. Everyone who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Pray about it. Write about it. Share it with others. I gave you another handout there, just some promises, and there are many more promises in Scripture. These, you know, part of what do I focus on if I don't focus on my failures? Focus on God's Word. This is the part of the renewing your minds. And how do we renew our minds? We get into God's Word, and we get into it frequently. There are some that I've seen that have taken Scriptures like the ones they gave you, and they wrote them on 3x5 cards, and they carried those cards with them. So throughout the day, they could pull them out. You know, you say, well, I got my phones. Well, maybe you need something else in your pocket because your phone doesn't go to the Bible very easily. But if you intentionally write something down on a piece of paper and put it in your pocket, every time you reach that phone, you feel that paper. What's that paper? Is that a receipt or is that some money? What is that in there? You pull that scripture out and allow your mind to be transformed. Because if you don't allow yourself to be transformed by God, if you just allow yourself to go, you can cause yourself to go from one bad habit to another bad habit. Well, I don't do this anymore, but I sure like sugar a lot more. And so, speak to God, pray about it, write about it, share it with others. Your goals, your progress, your successes. What changes are you ready to voluntarily submit to God today, the start of this new day, this new week? What are the things that you need to confess? Are you ready to commit your life to the Lord? Are you ready to make the uncomfortable move of saying, this is what I need to change? And knowing that I can't do it on my own, will you help? There's a body of believers who are committed to helping in that, walking together through that. This can be a year of recovery, a year of restoration, and a year of rejoicing. Would you join in seeking first His kingdom, even as we stand and sing?